When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Hey, it is July 23rd, 2024. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Tonight was the go-home show for the NXT Great American Bash. Part one is next week on Sci-Fi. I'm Glenn Rubenstein. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Joined tonight by George Hermosa, who has a startling confession. He actually can't read. He just likes the pictures.
So wait, Hulk Hogan and Hollywood Hogan are the same people?
I mean, that's the rumor.
Huh. That's interesting.
Can't confirm it, you know, I mean, but...
One of them had a lot more hair than the other one. Not by a lot, but just he had, it's weird.
Maybe it was the Just for Men.
The black beard. That's weird. Whatever. Learn something new every day. The very little that I can read, I was able to at least be able to see that they're the same person.
You know, little known fact, Blackbeard, the famous pirate, also used Just for Men, like Hulk Hogan, like Hollywood Hogan did. Yeah.
Fascinating.
So, what did you think of NXT tonight?
It was a fun show. We'll get into it, but a couple of things that I kind of has been lingering as far as the past couple of weeks, as far as maybe why. But for the most part, I thought it was great. I thought the 6-man at the end was everything you can ask for in a 6-man tag, and it definitely left us wanting or looking forward to see what's going to be next in this chapter of rest on my computer. Next time in the chapter of this relationship of WWE and TNA, or I guess you can say NXT and TNA.
NXT and A, if you will.
Or what about TNXT?
TNXT. Time Warner or Warner Brothers might Discovery might have a little bit of a problem with that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. What's going on before we get into talking about tonight's show? What's going on in the news?
Well, first of all, I got to start off with a little bad news. Afraid I've got some bad news. One of our favorite commentators used to say. But Johnny Gargano, his father's restaurant out in Cleveland, took a devastating turn when it was badly damaged as a result of a fire. Gargano went to X to address the situation. He shared a picture apparently that his father had worked in the building for over 50 years. Wow. So the restaurant itself has been, you know, kind of a Gargano, family work, I guess you can say. The building will now have to be torn down, with total damage to the building estimated to have been over $700,000. I don't know if that means that the insurance is going to step in. I don't know if that means that maybe they're going to be able to rebuild. Who knows? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of factors that go into it. But either way, not good news. I'm sure there were a lot of people that were planning on going to the restaurant this upcoming weekend for SummerSlam. WWE's in town, going to be in town Friday, Saturday for SummerSlam. A lot of out-of-towners. I know for me, I would have loved to have gone to that kind of a restaurant. I remember going back to 2010 when I was in town for the WrestleMania in Phoenix. I heard that Armando Estrada, whatever his name was, had like a little lemonade store that I just wanted to go see, because I want to support some of these wrestler owned restaurants. And unfortunately, that can't be the case for the Gargano restaurant this upcoming weekend, unfortunately.
Well, I hope they're able to have insurance somehow rebuild and offset this terrible loss.
Yeah. And who knows? Again, this just happened, so I may sound a little foolish to say, but sometimes greater thing can come from some things like these, some unfortunate circumstances from these. Maybe they'll rebuild bigger, better than ever than we've seen before. So hopefully, it can only go up for the family and for their life's work.
Absolutely.
And then maybe next time, maybe when WrestleMania comes to Cleveland, they'll have a brand new place that everybody can go visit and watch some. Maybe, I don't know. Do a lot of these wrestler-owned restaurants have, they should call it wrestler-rants. Whatever. Do they usually have like wrestling theme behind it? Like, I know there's a place out in LA, it's called Gorilla Mall. They sell amazing, fantastic burgers. And I know the owner is like a big, big wrestling fan. So he has a lot of the burgers named after the wrestlers, even where you have one TV showing a lot of like metal concerts and the other TV is always showing some kind of wrestling. Like, have you ever been to some of these restaurants or places that are owned by a wrestler?
I have not. I coincidentally heard the most popular one for a long time was the place the Godfather was working at in Vegas, but
I don't think that was a restaurant though.
I think they serve food, maybe like a or something. But there's that of course the steakhouse in Japan. There's that seafood place in Baltimore, the seafood place.
Oh, the Jimmy Sue's. But I know Victoria had like a pizza joint out in like Chicago, I think, called like look, somebody just mentioned in the chat. I think it's called like the Squared Circle or something like that. But yeah, I always try to make it a point to go. And by the way, living in LA, Gorgeous George, the old school restaurant, had like a barbecue bar and grill out here in Van Nuys, California, which is not there
second
anymore.
Gorgeous George, not first Gorgeous George.
Yeah, George Gore's the, well, I guess he's the first. I guess we'll give him the that title.
I'm just saying first or second because there's a difference.
Oh, the first one. The OG one, I guess you can say. He had a place out in the San Fernando Valley. That you can Google it, people can look it up, and it's actually out here in LA or was out here in LA. So wish it was still there. I'm sure it'd be a great, cool place to visit. I guess shout out to the Nitro Grill from back in the day. I was in Las Vegas. Did you never went to the Nitro Grill? That Nitro Grill?
I never did. I wanted to go to WWF New York when that was open. That was the world, yes. And who knows? Look, I think now with WWE's on fire. I think that the chance of them having a physical Hall of Fame, maybe in Las Vegas, maybe with a restaurant attached. Just saying, WrestleMania seems like an opportune time to announce it. Seems much less crazy than the idea did even 2 years ago.
This is, speaking of which, and this is kind of a little out of the box, but we're going to tie it all back in together. Sure. The term pop-up, it gets thrown around a lot, especially in Los Angeles. Not too long ago, we saw like a Saved by the Bell pop-up show up out in West Hollywood, you know, kind of resembling the Max. I know not too long ago they had like movies. Was that the one from Kevin Smith?
They've done those. There's been a lot of those around the country.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if maybe WWE experiments a little bit with maybe some pop-up restaurants, right? Like, I don't know what kind of theme, obviously wrestling theme, but it's got to be maybe a little bit more to entice some people outside of wrestling wanting to go there. But it really actually surprises me now that I think about it, that they don't have more pop-up food places show up just randomly throughout the country.
So, I mean, here you go. One night only, Hulk Hogan's Pasta Mania, you know, closer than ever to being a reality.
From the Mall of America.
Yes. Did they ever have any other locations, or was that just at the Mall of America?
From what I know, it was only the Mall of America. I don't know how long they were there for. I'm going to guess like a year. But I'm really curious.
That's it.
Mall, shopping mall spaghetti, shopping mall pasta, like, I don't know, like, not really enticing, to be honest with you, so I'm not surprised it didn't last too long.
Do you know what the dopest themed restaurant I ever went to was? And it was very short-lived. Universal Studios had a Marvel Mania restaurant, and it was like right when CityWalk was launching, so it was outside Universal. When we went to the bathroom, like all the signs said like danger room and whatnot, like it was so cool.
So this is way before Marvel became a thing.
Well, it was like the late 90s. I want to say it was like 97,
definitely before the MCU days.
Yeah, before the MCU, but it was really cool. Like that's my favorite restaurant. I think about it from time to time and just think about how cool that was. I assume the world looked really cool. The WWF restaurant. I remember seeing the Tough Enough auditions. And I was like, ooh, they have a ring there. This looks really nice. I think in our lifetime, George, there will be another WWE restaurant venture, probably attached to a Hall of Fame.
I think so too. But like, I'm really like, now that I mentioned it, I'm happy it was brought up, and I promise we'll get to more stuff. Like, why don't they do like a pop-up? I'm curious, like everyone else does it. Why can't they just have like, hey, we're going to be in LA or we're going to be in some other, you know, Chicago or wherever, you know, only be here for a month. You know, come when you get a chance. Like, why not?
Yeah, the economics of it.
There's not that much of a commitment.
Well, no, here's the reason why. Because speaking of LA, look at what like Mr. Charlie's does, or some of these. I guess that Mr. Charlie's not a pop-up now, but it started as a pop-up. But if you look at the problem is when some of these restaurants get trendy, they just become like, you can't get in there. It's miserable for everyone. WWE doesn't need the money. So they're not, I don't think they're going to do a pop-up because it would be overwhelming. Fans would be disappointed. It would be a miserable experience for everyone involved, and like, what's the net benefit of it, you know?
Just something else out there. I mean, I think the biggest misconception is the WWE is just a wrestling company. It always reminded me of just how like back in like 2015, they were literally like on five channels, whether it was USA, the E Network, and then going back and like even like going back to all this stuff, like they don't just promote or they don't just show wrestling content. They have the books and the action figures and the video games. If they really are an entertainment company, why not branch off? And it's again, just try it out. Even if it's not in LA, like, hey man, we're gonna, it doesn't necessarily have to be in like a WrestleMania city, because maybe that's too easy, but try out just, you know, a random spot like that. Maybe a one shot in like Vegas, just for like a month. We had what's the place from Coming to America? McDowell's?
Yes.
We had a McDowell's pop up not too long ago, maybe like a year or two ago. I'm just saying, hey, try it out. I'm not even trying to help them out in some ways. I'm just saying, you know, there's definitely some cool opportunities for wrestling fans to really get embraced even more into the fandom of being a wrestling fan.
Do you remember the sad WWE cooking show pilot in the waning days of the WWE network?
There are a lot of experimentations the early days of the WWE network.
No, this was the later days, and it was sad. Wow.
It wasn't airing after Swerved.
Swerved was amazing, especially when they would have to explain what Swerved was every time they told someone that they'd been swerved.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamie Kennedy had to do that as well. So, I mean, let's be fair. Like, it's not like JKX set the world on fire. Yeah. I think that they did the last gasps of WWE Network. They did the Fashion Police pilot, which...
With Breezango?
Yeah, which was... they were trying to solve the mystery of who pied Kevin Owens in the face. It was not particularly well done. Like, they gave it their all, but they didn't have the budget to really do it. There was a cooking show that looked like it was shot on a camcorder.
Who was it?
The cooking show, I think Summer Rae. No, Summer Rae wasn't in it. I don't remember. It was sad. And I say that as someone who likes when the WWE does weird stuff. Yeah. I've seen more WWE Studios films than I care to admit. Some of them were okay. 12 Rounds 3. Greatly underrated. Becky Lynch was great in the Marine 5. Marine 4 was weird. It was in a parking garage. I like weird WWE stuff, but the cooking show was not great. You know what was great was the crossover movie they did with the Jetsons. That was solid.
Oh, yeah. I think I have one. I have the Scooby-Doo one. But
the
Jetsons,
those ones, they're trying to sneak in, so cool. And Elroy is dressed as Roman Reigns, and it's adorable.
Yeah, they should do. It's great. Like, they should do more of that.
I agree. What else is going on in the news before this goes completely off the rails?
What else is going on is Logan Paul's Prime Hydration facing lawsuit from the U.S. Olympic Committee. Apparently, the drink question is a prime flavor sponsored by Olympic gold medalist Kevin Durant, which uses the terms, the Olympic terms on the label to cite the basketball's qualifications. The Olympic Committee is accusing Prime of trademark infringement and asking for all the profits made from the drink in question, along with additional damages worth millions. Olympic Committee does not like their name being used outside of the Olympics. Enter the year 99-2000, when Kurt Angle's finishing move was called the Olympic Slam. The Olympics said, no, no, you can't use that word, which is why they changed it to the Angle Slam.
Olympics don't play, man.
And they're like, they're starting up like in a couple days. I don't know. I mean, do they need the publicity? Do they need, like, everybody knows what the Olympics is, right?
Here's the, well, do they? Do they, George? There's breakdancing this year in the Olympics, so I'm excited about this. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the, you know, they launched skateboarding 4 years ago. Skateboarding wasn't as great as you thought it was going to be, but breakdancing, I'm here for it. But here's the problem with Logan Paul, his shtick, his character. In any situation, whether it's this, whether it's the feud against LA Knight, is anyone rooting for Logan Paul?
Probably not.
That's the
challenge. Although I will say he has done, in my opinion, a great job of redeeming himself. Not to say he's fully redeemed, but I'm saying he's done a really good job at rebounding, I guess you can say.
He's an excellent wrestler. I mean, I will give him all his flowers there. But I'm just saying, he's not like Mr. Beast, where it's like, you're like, do you know that he did, was out there and he like built all this stuff and he was doing all these nice things? And he was like, I'm not saying he's not redeemed like that way. I'm not even casting judgment about his real life controversies and scandals. I'm just saying, you know, you can play a heel so well sometimes that it's just tough. In fact, credit to Roddy Piper. To Roddy Piper, because in They Live, he turned it all around, man, and became America's sweetheart.
Do you think they can remake They Live?
Yes.
You, by the way, you can't just bring up random things, because I'll just elaborate more and more on just the thing that you mentioned. I don't know. Because a lot of people say that's, you can't remake They Live. I think you can. I think there's a lot of movies that should never be remade, but I really think They Live is a movie that, you apply it to 2024, it would be controversial, but also very, very relevant.
Controversial about remaking They Live.
No, but the subject matter, like, just, you know, if they apply it to 2024 standards with everything, like the manipulation of the media and all those things, I feel like there'd be a lot of media saying, like, oh, we can't get behind this movie, which, you know, again, if done correctly, I think it could be a really, really big force in the entertainment industry.
Perhaps. What else is going on in the news?
A couple things, but we're just kind of combine the two, because they're very, sure, very relevant to what we saw and what we saw tonight on NXT. Is NXT star Wes Lee returns to TNA Wrestling and the Rascals reunite at Slammiversary 2024. We saw what happened in NXT, but we saw the last episode of Impact featured the treehouse, and where they partake into extracurricular activities, if you catch my drift. Where you know, this was the first time in 4 years that we kind of saw that trio be involved in the same That 70s Show style segment, and it led up to them having a six-man tag with, you know, other NXT superstars, No Quarter Catch Crew, which I'm going to get into today. This is the first time that Wes Lee's had a match in TNA since 2020. And yeah, like I said, a lot of great things. They got the victory at Slammiversary. And then you have somebody like Trey Miguel, who is for TNA and pretty much details the reception that he's received. And he says, just the feeling of hearing TNA chants, you know, in NXT, that was amazing. It was one of those validating moments of wondering, will they know who I am? Will they know who we are? Will they know where we're from? And granted, it was all for nothing, because everybody knows who the Rascal was, at least in the NXT universe. So it just kind of talked about, you know, putting it together, and we'll get into a little bit more later, because they were in the main event of today's NXT show. But, and like I said, I've said it before, I'll say it again today, like, all this stuff is just fun, man. Like how does anybody sit there and complain? Like, I saw some comments, and I really try not to put too much energy into like negativity on Twitter, but just like, oh, you have NXT is getting, or they're sending all the big names to NXT, or TNA sending all the big names to NXT, but TNA is getting, like, you know, people still kind of 1 or 2 years into the career. And I'm just like, dude, like, this is all so cool. Like, what is there really to complain about? Like, you know, who would have thought we would be seeing this in 2024, let alone in pro wrestling in any year? And this is just all so cool. I can't complain about anything that we're seeing between what's going on between NXT and TNA.
It's interesting. I mean, you have to wonder how they're going to juggle the Performance Center, their homegrown talents, the NIL program, the independent talent they're still continuing to sign. And we're learning, like, they've been signing people that were under the radar. We're just finding out now.
I had no idea who Delta was until like a week or two ago.
Yeah. So they got that. And now with TNA, I'm telling you, people have been saying I'm crazy, George. Something's afoot. WWE just doesn't play nice like this and put Joe. I mean, unless they're saying to TNA, like, hey, we're taking Joe Hendry and we're going to take Jordan Grace when her contract's up and we're going to give you the exposure and some stuff. But, you know, we're going to just keep testing out your talents and whoever we like, we keep. Cool. Like, unless that's the deal, something's afoot.
I mean, my question for you is, and this is all like, who knows? I mean, but I'll get your opinion is, Slammiversary sold like 4,000 tickets, which was tremendous for TNA. Do you think they would have sold 4,000 tickets without the WWE NXT presence?
No.
Because they've been doing great things regardless.
Yeah, I'm not saying it would have been 500 paid, but I'm saying like it, or let me put it this way. It wouldn't have sold as fast. There wouldn't have been as much passion. And the beauty and brilliance of this, George, is they figured out that it doesn't matter with these TNA talents if they're known nationwide, because this is in Orlando, because this is in TNA's hometown, like they're going to seem like the audience at home is going to recognize, do their research and get caught up and get on board really quick. Mm-hmm. NXT audiences, live and in television, all want to be in on, they want to be in on the in jokes, the hot gimmick. You know, it's amazing how they're able to do that. And the thing that I don't get why AEW can't do this is AEW can bring in indie talent, but it doesn't. I mean, NXT benefits from the limited geography, which isn't to say Orlando is small, but they benefit from that immediate overlap. If you're part of the NXT regulars who are going there each week, you're probably also going to TNA shows here and again. You know who these talents are. You're on top of it. It's like AEW's had some success with this, bringing wrestlers from Japan or Europe or the Indies, but you don't see the everyone immediately just, you know, like the, you don't see the immediate fan club effect every time. You see it sometimes, but not every time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's fun. I think, and even the argument is always like, oh, well, what's WWE benefiting from it? Like, what do they have to gain? I honestly don't care. I really, really don't care what WWE gets from it, whether they're getting talent, whether they're, and it's not even that they're getting talent. Like, who's to say that these people wouldn't be signing with them anyways when their contract expires? Now, it's one thing if, let's say, WWE, let's say they get them now, you know, they work out some deal with TNA and they just get them now. Maybe we're seeing that with Joe Hendry. But like, either way, like, this is all really cool. This is all great. I mean, it reminds me when I was a kid and I would see this kind of the ECW guys show on Monday Night Raw. I would see the WWF guys show up just randomly at the ECW arena, whether it's Jerry Lawler. And it all created for some really, really cool moments in the history of pro wrestling. Like that moment of, I think it was like June 9th, 97, when Lawler showed up and they were attacking the ECW roster. Like, you know, this whole building should be made out of toilet paper because there's nothing in it, but, you know, finish a sentence. Like that, that's all so cool. And if this is, if we can't replicate that, what we saw 25 years ago, but if this is the closest thing to it, dude, I'm all for it. Well, I hope all for it.
TNA is in better financial shape right now than later stage ECW.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if they keep doing it, if they got 4,000 in Montreal for Slammer or Serena, and I'm sure PCO had a big deal to do with it, then I'm really hoping that Bound for Glory come October, I think it is, they have big plans for that. Because if it keeps going, if they still kind of have a quote-unquote impact in NXT heading to the CW network, big things should be coming up for the Bound for Glory pay-per-view, if that's their biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Inc. Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, let's talk about NXT tonight. And if you think Joe Hendry is hot, let's talk about Brooks Jensen. Okay, so what do you think of this storyline? They did this. This has been building for like 2 months. Brooks fake quit. He was renegade showing up and ambushing stuff. Now he was in this no DQ match against his old partner, Josh Briggs, tonight. Like, they, in fairness to them, they presented this like this was the hottest feud in NXT. And if it is.
I saw something on Twitter and I can't really unsee it. It seems like Brooks Jensen is getting booked exactly like how Jack Perry was getting booked, where you have this disgruntled employee coming in just wanting to cause a ruckus. Obviously, it's not to the extreme of attacking the main honcho or the head honcho, but very similar, very disgruntled. And now they're kind of siding with somebody. Now it looks like they're going to be a partnership or some kind of alliance between him and almost a Ty Dillinger, him and Sean Spears. And again, that can only mean good things for Brooks Jensen. But yeah, the match was what it was. I'd like to see a little bit more. Yeah, it was fine. But like, I'm not sold on him, on Brooks Jensen. I'm not sold on Josh Briggs. There's something missing when it comes to maybe personality-wise. I'd like to see something more stand out. I've said this many times about many people, is I'm over just the tough guy thing. Everyone else is a tough guy. So what makes you into a special tough guy?
He's really angry.
Yeah, but
he's a little unhinged.
But so is a lot of people. You know, you can say the same thing about Ethan Page. But at least by the way, and I'll get into it. I thought Ethan Page was amazing today. But yeah, no, just give me something different. Give me something not different. Give me something additional into whatever it is that you're presenting.
Yeah, this match was okay, but Sean Spears showing up at the end, them leaving together. So Brooks got his win. Josh Briggs lost. Josh Briggs, see, is interesting because when the split happened, it seemed like Brooks was the Jannetty of the group. Like, oh, they got big plans for Josh Briggs, and he was in that triple threat, and then now he's losing to Brooks. Like, it's interesting to see what happens from here. So, Alicia, I tweeted this. If we find out that Sean Spears' middle name is Sebastian, this is going to be the most amazing long-term storytelling NXT has ever done, or certainly up there with that.
No, his middle name should be Stan. Because that's long-term storytelling.
Wait, Why Stan? What am I missing out on?
Survivor. I think it was Survivor Series 06. Oh, no, I think it was Taboo Tuesday. When Shawn Michaels kicked Stan. See, I just kicked Stan. That was Shawn Spears.
Oh.
Okay. That's long-term storytelling if Shawn Spears comes back and super kicks Shawn Michaels at some point.
Sure.
Anyway, crickets.
But we never found out who Kiana James was cheating on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We never met Sebastian, who she was cheating on Brooks Jensen with.
Yeah.
So if Shawn Sebastian Spears, Shawn Stan Spears doesn't really flow. So Shawn Sebastian Spears.
Triple S.
Yes.
Either way, they're both Triple S.
Yes. But I think that would be a good payoff. And everybody likes it when they break up, when the trailer is, by the way, I was Sebastian.
It was me, Brooks. It was me, Jensen. It was me.
Yeah, it'd be great. So we'll see what happens. I forgot about the Stan thing. That's interesting. So that's just some lore.
It doesn't have to be that, the whole Super King. Just give me anything. Give me some acknowledgement that Shawn Spears is still mad that he got super kicked by Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Almost 20 years ago.
Almost 20 years ago. It can't be that mad. So let's talk about what happened next. We heard from Trick Williams. And Trick was talking about wanting his NXT championship back, and then he was interrupted by Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis, and I will not stand for Trick Williams disparaging Hit Row.
Yeah, a bit of a low blow, I guess you can say. I am baffled at how they have missed the boat for so long on Ashanti the Adonis. He has done so much in the last two episodes of NXT more than he's done in his entire WWE career so far. Mm-hmm. The amount of personality that he's shown in just such a limited amount of time is just astronomical. And I'm happy that he's at least getting an opportunity to do something. Yeah. Because he had zero chance on the main roster. Even when I thought they were going to do something with Cedric and almost said Tahuti Miles, Cedric and Ashanti on SmackDown as a team, we saw one appearance, maybe two appearances, maybe one video package. And then we never really saw them again until last week. So man, the fact that, and Cedric as well, I thought Cedric was amazing on the mic.
Yeah.
I thought he showed something that he hasn't really shown in a very long time. And I keep saying this about Trick is I don't think he's really evolved this, like his trajectory from, let's say, July of last year till, you know, March of this year, I think is so insanely high when he should be still rising. He should be still rising in some ways from when he won the championship until now. And I really think I haven't really seen that with Trick Williams.
No, we're side questing.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know. I just feel like I don't know if maybe they saw that maybe he still needs some work overall, and we'll talk about that as match with Cedric.
C-dub.
Maybe, because, you know, he's still got the NXT on his mind. But yeah, I'd like to see a little bit more fire and passion. I feel like it's getting a little repetitive with Trick Williams. He's not at that awesome level where he can just do the same thing every single week. I don't know. I just feel like those whoop that Trick chants are just not as loud as they used to be.
People have less conviction about the Trick whooping.
I don't know.
But yeah, we'll see what happens. But this set up Trick versus Cedric for later in the night. Then we went right into Eddie Thorpe and Lexus King. A heated rivalry. Lexus King attacking Eddie Thorpe at a DJ set. Lexus King, who has been having a rough time of getting his car repaired lately. And dealing with everyone in Florida's have to get him or take advantage of him. And I don't mean to make light of it. I it's amazing for a heel to be tweeting about day-to-day things because Lexus King is such a tight character.
Yeah.
Live that when you look at his Twitter feed, it's just like, oh, he's just like us. It's like, you think it's in character. You think it's like a Cobra Kai-esque, like Johnny Lawrence going through the world, getting in fights with everybody.
Yeah.
But I was thinking of that as we went into this match. And good match. Yeah. But were you happy to see Eddie Thorpe come out ahead?
Yeah, I think so. I thought of the same thing. I'm like, yeah, am I okay with this? And yeah, why wouldn't I be? Yeah, because I was like, I mean, because everybody's got this image of what maybe they think pro wrestling should be. Like, oh, what is Brian Pillman Jr. jobbing? Oh, he just went to NXT just so he can get jobbed out. No, like, he's in his story. Like, you can't expect everybody to win every single match all the time. It was a good match. It was a good match between two guys that are on the rise. This match ain't going to happen in 3 years, because who knows where these guys will be in 3 years. But yeah, I liked what I saw, and I like, I'm not digging the DJ vibe of Eddie Thorpe, to be honest with you. But either way, I this was a good match.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, and I'm curious to see where they go from here. Then we had Oro Mensah versus Ashanti the Adonis, with Oro getting the win. They're really kind of building him nicely as of late.
Yeah. And same thing, where I was a little shocked, to be honest with you, because I thought this was going to be a kind of nice little rise, but for Ashanti. But what's the rush? You know, here's a guy that hasn't really wrestled much in the last like 2-3 years, since even before he came back. And then you have a guy that's pretty much under the tutelage of a Noam Dar, and is really, really coming into his own with this whole Ethan Page thing. Logically speaking, Oro Mensah should be beating Ashanti the Adonis, you know? But I do have a question, though, because I going back to what I said earlier, is I think what we're seeing in Ashanti the Adonis is just like, I'm loving what I'm seeing so far. But do you think this presentation could have worked on SmackDown? Like, why didn't they just do this over on SmackDown?
Yeah. SmackDown has very limited airtime, and the way the commercial breaks are even structured, the way they time out TV, I feel like NXT tries to pack in a lot into 2 hours. It's really impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get why they, you know, bring people over to NXT, and I especially with the CW thing, I don't really see it as such a demotion, because I think there's going to be more eyeballs on a CW rather than like a USA. Can't speak for Netflix. I don't know how that's going to go. But either way, if I was somebody and I was moved over to NXT, I would be ecstatic. I'm going to be like, dude, whatever I got to do to consistently be on the CW. I mean, that was the same network that aired Dawson's Creek, for goodness sakes, you know?
Yes.
So either way, like
WWB merging with UPN.
Yeah. Yeah, but either way, I'm hoping for great things, and I really, really liked what I saw, whether they won or they lost. I'm really liking what I saw personality wise with Cedric, and just overall with Ashanti.
I really loved this backstage segment of Ren Sinclair with the NQCC and the family standing by. Ren sent Charlie Dempsey a ransom note, which Tony D'Angelo was tickled by. And I like how they're setting this up. So now the No Quarter Catch crew and the family are going to be evenly matched for what I think is going to be a really fun feud. But this went into Ren Sinclair with the NQCC versus Carly Bright with Kendall Gray, and Ren getting the win. What did you think of this match? And are you also delighted by this?
So I'm off and on, and I like talking to you, because, you know, you got a lot of logic. So I need somebody to explain something to me. Why is Ren Sinclair so focused on wanting to be with the North Quarter Catch crew? If I was somebody, I don't want to be involved in a group that doesn't want me. Like, what's the benefits of her being with this group?
Yeah. So you're saying if this were Broadway, we need to hear Ren Sinclair's I Want song.
Yeah. About
what her dreams are and why she wants to be
NQCC. And what's the purpose? Like, what is the goal? What's the mission of the Catch crew? Like, I don't know. I just wish that maybe I'm listening to too much of the Boy Meets World podcast episodes, because they really, really break everything down and really, really try to, you know.
Charlie Dempsey wants to be Tony D'Angelo.
Yeah.
Tavian wants to be part of the NQCC.
But like, I just don't see the benefits. Why them as opposed to like starting your own, or maybe wanting to be? I feel like being in the D'Angelo family is you get more notoriety than being in the Quarter Catch crew. Yeah, that's true. Aside from not really getting an explanation on why she wants to be with them, I thought it's all great. I really thought Ren Sinclair showed so much great energy, enthusiasm, personality, great wrestling skills tonight, and I'm really excited to see where this is going. As you know, aside from everything that I just said, I'm liking her bringing a lot of colorfulness to, in my opinion, a group that, you know, isn't really too colorful.
And it's going to add a lot of unpredictability, because when Ren Sinclair faces someone, it's no quarter catch crew. So they don't know, her female opponent doesn't know if they're going to be facing Ren or Charlie Dempsey or Tavion or,
yeah,
you know, so it's unpredictable.
You never know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's big. It's a big deal. But no, I'm looking forward to how this plays out. I thought this was a good match. I thought Ren Sinclair performed really well and got a nice win here.
Yeah, I think so too. And what's the girl with Carly Bright?
That was Kendall Gray.
Kendall Gray. She looks good too. When she took out Miles Bourne, it looked really cool. So can't wait to see what she does in the ring.
Hank and Tank are going to host the Great American Bash, and that segment of them talking about that is probably the most likable and charming they've seemed on TV in about the 15 seconds they were allowed to talk.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it was nice. We had MSK Rascals challenging Fraxium, saying that, you know, MSK never lost those tag team titles. So six-man tag match. Not for the belts, which I didn't realize until we got there, but that makes sense. But they set that up for the main event. Had Thea Hale and Kelly Kincaid talking about Thea's journey in NXT, which was nice.
Speaking of what I said earlier, I'm going to repeat it. I can't wait to see how these girls are going to be if they face off against each other in like 3 years.
Yeah. I mean, with some of these more recent signings WWE is doing, I've been thinking about this a decent amount. Is this a hedge against more talent like Becky not being in a rush to re-sign when their deal is up and knowing that they need to fill the pipeline with, you know, larger than life talents that can hold down the women's division on the main roster if they're not going to be able to count? Like, I don't know when Alexa Bliss is coming back. I know Carmella has been dealing with some recovery issues. We don't know when she's coming back. Like, they have to assume that, you know, right now Rhea, Liv, Bianca, Jade, Bailey are doing well, but we could see another generational change, and maybe some of this performance center talent isn't quite ready yet to where Julia or some of these other signings could be to go into that main roster top slot. So I wonder, is it that, are they going to end up doing a separate women's show? Is that going to be what replaces Level Up week in and week out? Because they think there demographically is something there, but it seems like right now the amount of female talent they're having, and accumulating outside of NXT, they're not getting equal TV time with the men. Mm-hmm. So I wonder where are they going to be able to showcase all of this talent?
Yeah, it should be interesting. I will say this, and just because we just passed about a week ago, is it's been 9 years, since that segment where they introduced Becky Lynch and Charlotte and Sasha Banks. That's 9 years ago. And while some of them are just, and they all are actually, you know, in peak shape and peak of their career, obviously Becky when she was around just a couple months ago, you have Charlotte who's on the injured list, you have Becky that, you know, we don't know when she's going to come back, and I'm sure when she does come back, I'm guessing it's going to be more of a part-time basis. You know, you have Sasha that went over, you have Bailey that's still doing her thing, you have Naomi that's still doing her thing, so a lot of those women are gone. So I feel like a lot of that is just kind of preparing themselves, because in 2-3 years, it's going to be, remember that segment that happened 12, 13 years ago, and, you know, people age and people, you know, and they move on and a lot of things. So I really think a lot of it is just preparing themselves, on what's to come, whether it's somebody like a Roxanne Perez, that's only 22 years old. Thea Hale is what, 19 or 20. In 5 years, they're still going to be, you know, maybe younger than a lot of the wrestlers, both men and women. So I really think a lot of it is just making sure they are set for the future, for when the day happens that a lot of these women that have been around for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12, 13 years end up, you know, moving on from wrestling. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's good challenges to have for WWE. We then went to Cedric. I always want to say Cedric the Alexander every time. versus Trick Williams. And really good match. I thought it was interesting that Trick was showing respect for Cedric after beating him, given that that opening segment was very tense. Mm-hmm. But the big thing happened after with Pete Dunne blindsiding Trick from behind. So that's, again, side quest mode. Are you excited for Pete Dunne versus Trick Williams?
I am. I'm excited. And what I mentioned about Trick, I'm not going to repeat it, but I like that they're putting him in the ring with a lot of just great, great experienced talent. And Pete Dunne is probably the perfect guy that's going to bring out the best in Trick Williams. So I'm really liking this pairing. It does seem like maybe they're holding off just maybe a month or two until that CW debut for Trick Williams to officially be back in the main event scene. Because I'm sure this will be maybe in 2 weeks. I don't think it's going to be week one. They also would have mentioned it, but we'll probably see this matchup in the second week of Great American Bash.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think Trick wins the title back opening night on the CW.
It's going to be a big show.
Yeah, it'll be good. Hey, maybe the Undertaker will show back up. yeah, just say whoop that Trick. Oh, that'd be amazing. But yeah, I'm excited for Pete versus Trick. That'll be a good match. Then we went into Lash Legend and Jakar Jackson versus Sol Ruka and Carmen Petrovic. Sol and Carmen kind of matching their looks a bit more tonight.
Who were the Blondourage? Wasn't there a team called like the Blondourage?
Did they officially name them that? That's not a good team name.
No, they didn't name that, but I feel like somebody in wrestling already had that.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Hollywood Blondes, the Varsity Blondes. Variations have been used.
Maybe it was like some girls on Rock of Love or something that called themselves the Blondourage. But yeah, either way, I love me some Sol Ruka. You know, she's coming off that amazing match that I predicted, by the way, against Kalani Jordan. And I'm liking what I see with Carmen Petrovic. Kind of weird that we're not seeing Natty just all of a sudden. It's like she just kind of disappeared and not
some time off. She just resigned a contract.
So bring her in. She gotta go to work sometime, right?
Let her have a little vacation.
All right, you're right. But yeah, so I'm digging that. Great match. I thought it was a great match. I like the personality that Jakar is showing. It's no, you know, me saying Lash Legend has a personality is just not new news. We've seen that even, what was it called? Lashing Out?
Yeah.
Lashing Out. Back she in the lost day.
Her, may her producer rest in peace.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind to see that make a return here and there. But yeah, I thought this was a great tag match. It really set up. I like that it set up for their match with Alba Fire and Isla Dawn for next week on NXT. And I think that's going to be a fun match.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Isla and Alba coming back to defend those titles against Lash and Jakar is going to be a lot of fun.
And I like that they're doing that on NXT because I know they when those championships first got brought up, got created, it was pretty much saying we're going to defend them on every champ on every show, even though we didn't see Bayley and Sasha. We just saw Bayley and Sasha show up that one time and they never went back to NXT. But especially now that the NXT women's tag titles are no longer there, then I'd like to see them be featured on NXT a lot more, and I like that this is a step in the right direction.
This Ethan Page side quest with Oro Mensah is crazy. So Oro pinned Ethan last week. Ethan's clarifying, you know, this doesn't count. Yeah. And then Oro comes out and pins him again. So this will be fun. This will be good. But yeah, Ethan's keeping that title.
I like how he presented himself. Maybe it's the way he was holding the title, but I really like how Ethan Page was presenting himself as the NXT world champion.
Yeah, it's good. Good. I thought it was well done. And then we went right into the main event, which was the Rascals versus Javon Evans, Nathan Frazier, and Axiom. Man, I think this would have been super hot if this had been for the title. I understand why it wasn't, but Rascals are so good, man.
Yeah. My only criticism with this match is as I guess you can say, as bouncy as Javon Evans is. I feel like he's focusing too much on the flash and not like the impact, because there were some things that he did cool, but it looks like he barely like, and I get it, wrestling is, you know, it is what it is, but like I get you're supposed to protect your opponent, but it just I didn't like how it kind of barely grades sometimes, almost as if like he's focused too much on the pizzazz as opposed to the impact. But
on the pizzazz and razzmatazz,
well, because you look at like Zachary Wentz and Wesley, like they then Trey Miguel, like they do everything that Javon Evans is doing, but at least they're making it look good and sound good and you know, making that impact. So I feel like once Javon, again, he's 19. I mean, what the hell? Like, who the hell am I to sit there and say that a 19-year-old has no room to grow? You know, but other than that, like, it was just such a great, fun match.
Great.
I love that it's setting up. And I love how they set it up early on in the show, how they kind of mentioned that MSK, I'm going to say MXT, MSK never lost a championship.
Never lost it. Don't Google it.
Never lost it. And it really set up for possibly them regaining the championships. I mean, a WWE guy and a TNA guy being tag team champions, like how cool will that be?
I mean, you know, the world is so divided. If there's a way to help unite people, I think that's an excellent start.
And you have the whole thing about now Axiom is going to be on Speed. So that's kind of
WWE Speed.
Yeah. Or maybe the other, maybe not WWE Speed.
No, Fraxium were good. And I liked Javon's entrance with Fraxium. That was a lot of fun to me.
Yeah, yeah. Although I don't think I've ever seen, we've seen the many mashups, but I've never seen like a three-way mashup. I think that was probably the first time we ever saw like a three theme songs unite as one. We saw some.
It was a great main event
on NXT.
Yeah, it was a great, great main event. A lot of fun. But no, I say put the titles on Rascals. I think what the world needs. And Joe Hendry's doing a concert promo next week.
I love that vignette on Joe Hendry.
It's very nice.
Like, this is just something that, like, oh man, like I knew about his career and I never really went into thorough, but man, like I really like how they made him just, no, he's not an overnight sensation. He's somebody, and especially if anybody listened to his interview on the Chris Jericho podcast last week, like he's somebody that really, really invested in himself. Like he literally out of his own pocket paid for those billboards that they were showing outside of Clash of the Castle. Like that wasn't WWE doing it. That was in TNA doing it. That was literally Joe Hendry investing in himself to get those billboards shown right in front of the building that WWE was going to be in. And so this was just a great way to show him. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next week, although I hope that it's good, because from what I've seen before, the best Joe Hendry performances are the ones that he spoofs or he's clowning on somebody, like we saw with AJ Francis, or even back in the day with like Drew McIntyre back in ICW.
We'll see if they allow him to do that. I think it'll be fun next week. I'm looking forward to it. And man, Gallus not happy. I mean, it's amazing. Gallus like got the winning lottery ticket by being in feud with Joe Hendry. It's like for Joe Hendry, if Gallus doesn't drag him down, then he's golden, man.
Yeah.
So that was NXT tonight. MSK won, or Rascals won, but it wasn't a title match. And next week we'll get some contract signings. Things are looking good, man. Things are looking good. Great American Bash next week on Sci-Fi.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I always like when they do these like kind of 2 week, I guess you could say 2 week PLEs, or if that's what you want to call them. Yeah, it's always fun. I'm always digging. I just on the last episode that we did covering Dynamite on Wrestling Inc., I was going on and on about how I think AEW doesn't have good pay-per-view names, and how much I think WCW had the absolute best pay-per-view names. So with that said, I really hoping they bring back maybe like a Slamboree, you know, they'll do like an NXT Presents Super Brawl. So I'm really hoping they do that. Cause I know they have the Great American Bash, the Hollywood Havoc. I know Heatwave was from ECW, but yeah, I'm really digging that they bringing back a lot of these names and really being able to continue that great American tradition.
There you go. Okay, well, everybody, follow George at G Hermosa, Hermosa with a Z. I am at Glenn Rubenstein. Everyone, I'll be back Friday for a pre-taped SmackDown. Tomorrow night's AEW, and we'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.